We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I bring on one of the best when it comes to talking about legal issues, handling of sticky situation issues. Guy's got a grasp on it as well as anybody I know. Former executive in the league, worked for years, Packers, Eagles, and the like. Now a member of the media, writes a column for the MMQB, and also his podcast, The Business of Sports, is as good as it gets out there in podcast land. Andrew Brandt joins us here on The Fan. How are you, Andrew?
Doing well, Jody Mack. Always a busy time, and you wouldn't think middle of the season for me on the business side would be that busy, but crazy things this week.
Yeah, a little bit, and the craziest, of course, was what transpired between the Browns and the Steelers. I'll tip my cap to the league in that they acted swiftly within 24 hours, already had a decision, wisely in that they left themselves open-ended to do an about-face and or add to their original suspension, something that the league, for me, doesn't do often enough, making good, solid, immediate-type decisions. Why do you think this one, Roger Goodell, was able to basically hit out of the park and handle as well as he did?
Well, it's interesting because we're in this age of social media. When I was running a team, we didn't have this, and things happened so fast. The outrage meter went crazy, and I fell asleep. I didn't see it, but, of course, woke up to Twitter, and I thought either Myles Garrett had killed someone or I didn't know what to think. The league had to act. I mean, there's this groundswell of emotion out there. And I think they acted well, but they left themselves wiggle room, too. They sort of put on an indefinite suspension, which everyone can agree with, 7 games left. And, you know, when it's out of the emotional phase, when it's January, February, March, April, May, they'll either tack on a few more games or they won't. And it'll kind of get a limited reaction at that point. So they kind of got out from under the storm. And, you know, the more reaction is, why didn't Mason Rudolph get anything? So they handled the Garrett situation. And as far as I can tell, Garrett is not going to appeal.
And I'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But let me first ask you, with the way that they handled it, it not only gives them a chance to remove some of the emotion, it also gives them the chance to investigate even fuller. They came with a decision as quickly as they did, but they get the chance to talk, an interview, and or break down the stances of those who were involved. How much of that actually comes into play? Do you believe that the league office lets the video tell all of its tale, or that they actually believe that in talking to participants and or people who are on the sideline can actually help them to get to what is the most just punishment?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm used to these long investigations on the NFL side on the off-field stuff, whether it's domestic violence or deflated footballs, you know, those things. You bring in investigative people that goes on for weeks, if not months, if not years. The on-field stuff has usually been pretty cut and dry with people on the league side that have played. You know, the people handling that right now are Derek Brooks and Matt Burke, and they've been handling the on-field stuff for a while, jointly approved by the union and the league. You know, as you suggest, this may go deeper with interviews with a longer time, because now, as you said, they have this long runway.
Yep.
To decide if we're going to have more than 7 games, you know, in playoffs, but that seems like out of the realm for the Browns. So we'll see. But, yeah, they got out from under the firestorm here.
All right. You mentioned that you don't believe Myles Garrett is going to appeal. Mm-hmm. If he changes his mind, if that's the case, who represents Myles Garrett? How much is the union obligated to take Myles Garrett back? how much is his agent obligated to take Myles Garrett back? And how much, and this might be the most intriguing of them all, is the team obligated to help Myles Garrett somewhat knock down the amount of punishment that he could be facing?
Yeah, I mean, these are all over the place in terms of anecdotal evidence. If you remember Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys were on the player's side. You know, the Cowboys were trying to get the suspensions reduced for what, at the minimum, was misbehavior towards a woman. At the maximum, was domestic assault. And then, you know, you see teams not discipline where the league does. But we've got a little bit of evidence out there now. We've got the Haslams making a statement yesterday. You know, they regret, apologize to the Steelers, blah, blah, blah. And then on the appeal side, you've got Myles Garrett saying how sorry he was to Mason Rudolph, to his organization, blah, 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 which tells me, as a lawyer, that's not going to be appealable. But I think if the answer to your question is the union is the primary advocate in these cases, and people say, well, how could they do that? Well, they represented Aaron Hernandez. They represented the Bountygate players because their role is about the greater good. Their role is not about the heinous act of one player. It's about, we don't want to be railroaded by the league on any situation where it's not fair for future players to look at. So, yes, the union would be involved. The agent would be too. The agent, I believe, is Buss Cook, who I've dealt with hundreds of times for Brett Favre. And we'll see where that goes.
All right. Here's the last question I have off that. Right. The union is kind of like an attorney. Whether you actually believe your client is guilty or not, you have to zealously represent him and try and find someone who's not guilty. But you have conflicting interests in that the union also represents Mason Rudolph, who got clubbed with a helmet. And if you're going to try and, if the NFL decides to get really harsh and Myles Garrett says, yes, I know I was wrong and I was sorry, but I think I'm being overpunished. I need you to work with me to get this taken back. What if Mason Rudolph says, no, I don't think it's harsh enough. I think he should sit for 2 years. How do you balance that from a union standpoint?
I mean, this is exactly the Bountygate situation. You know, I just mentioned my former star in Green Bay, Brett Favre, was the guy that those Bountygate guys came after, and, you know, the union was representing him. And in, you know, the Saints case. So I understand it from the union perspective because they have to represent the rights of all players, and if they don't represent guys like Scott Fujita and others that were wrongly accused, where others might have been rightly accused, they have to have that precedent that we're going to fight for the greater good. And yes, Mason Rudolph is not, they're not the lawyer for Myles Garrett or Mason Rudolph. They're the collective lawyer for the 2,000 players. So it's a tough stance in these cases. You know, they're representing Antonio Brown in 9 cases right now to get his money back, but there's probably a lot of players that say, don't mess with that guy. But on the other hand, there are a lot of players saying, well, maybe a team tries to stiff me one day. I need that precedent.
Speaking of getting money back, perfect segue. Thank you very much, Andrew. I assume from what I understand, and you know contract law in the NFL much better than I do, Cleveland could attempt to recoup some of the signing bonus money they gave to Myles Garrett because of this type of behavior. Now, if you're going to move off the player and you're just going to go in another direction, well, then of course you're going to do it because it just makes too much sense not to. You're going to try and bring some money back in your coffers. But if they're committed to bringing Myles Garrett back when his suspension is over and done with, do you actually try and go into his wallet and take some of his signing bonus money? How do they handle something like that?
Yeah, I mean, these are the questions that teams have rights. the question is whether they use them or not. You know, you and I talked about all the holdouts this summer. You know, did Ezekiel Elliott get fined for missing 3 weeks of training camp? Probably not. They certainly had the right to. Melvin Gordon, did he get fined like $30,000 a day? Came in 2 weeks into the season? Probably not. Aaron Donald held out of training camp for 2 seasons. Did he get fined a dime? Probably not. You know, and it goes back to my Twitterism. It's special talent equals special tolerance. It's
right.
Always the case. You know, let's make an obvious point here. If Myles Garrett was named Miles Jones, he'd be long gone. He'd be out. He'd be cut. You know, so he's a number one pick, and he's a star. So, of course, he'll be around next year, and probably they won't chase the bonus.
Right.
But, you know, if things go south with Myles Garrett for some reason, maybe they will. But I can't see them going after the bonus. And you made the point. I get a lot of questions on this. You know, this is pure savings to the Browns, cash and cap. So whatever they get out of 7 games non-paying him, people think that's a fine or something. He pays it back. No, they just don't pay him. So from a pure cash and cap standpoint, the Browns just gained a couple million dollars, even though they're losing a player. So I think people need to know that.
Well, I knew for a fact that they got cash relief. Cap, too. If
sure.
a player is suspended, you can take that cap money and spend it elsewhere?
Again, it's not taking it. It's just not paid. So whatever that number is, I think it's like $3 million. It's when it's not paid, it's cap and cash savings.
Okay.
So, yeah, they can allocate it elsewhere. So there may be a player on the Browns that becomes the beneficiary of this.
All right. I have one more kind of a different type question. As this is all coming down and I'm watching the other night and my head is spinning on how it's going to play forward. I saw the immediate after game press conference. And although I don't think Freddie Kitchens has done a real good job coaching the Cleveland Browns this year and might have been a mistake hire that for what they wanted and what they expected, they could have gone in a different direction. But I do give Freddie credit. I thought he handled it as best he could the other night. I thought he said all the right things. I thought his temperament was what was both honest, but what it also needed to be. So I want to give Freddie Kitchens some credit. However, after the fact, the next day, 2 days after, going forward, how much does Freddie Kitchens talk to his team? How much does an organization try and talk to and influence the players when they are asked about this situation? Do you have to put up a united front? Do you give the players the right to speak their mind? Freddie had to do it on the fly, and I think he did a hell of a job of it. If you've got time afterwards to lay out a game plan as to how to handle it, how do the best organizations do that?
Well, I think the best organizations are on the same page, and you don't have mixed messages. You know, I get it, what you're saying. You got to allow players freedom to talk. This is not a republic where they don't get to talk, deep state. So, but, you know, you look around. there will be, if this happened on the Patriots, on the Packers, on some of the well-regarded teams, Steelers, I mean, you're going to see a united front. You just are. Now, are we going to have different comments coming out of the Browns? I don't know. I just think that Kitchens, like you said, did what he had to do the other night. But let's be clear, this has been an undisciplined team off on the field. Lead the league in penalties, problematic. And then, you know, to expect them to be disciplined off the field, I think we probably don't expect that. We probably will come out with different statements. But we already saw Baker Mayfield say it was inexcusable and it cost us the game. You know, he's costing us the future, not having him there, and he's going to get a suspension before he got one. So we sort of see the face of the franchise in Mayfield already sort of back up the coach.
So does Myles Garrett just disappear for the rest of the year? If he gets into next season, if they decide to tack on and give him a portion, maybe even the entire year. Suspended players, depending on what the suspension is, can play in preseason games and practice with the team, just can't participate in games. How is it handled with a situation like this for him and being around the team?
Yeah, my understanding is, I mean, when we had a suspended player, he's away. We can't have any contact. Now, as you said, you get into next season, and then he's allowed to more off-season workouts, preseason. I mean, if it goes into next season, he can do everything up until September 1. So that's the weird part of these suspensions. Once you're in season, you got to go away.
Right.
Once you're out of season, you can do everything. And that's just the way it's always been.
Do you think that Goodell's going to add to it?
I guess, gun to my head, I say 2 to 4 more.
Okay, so into next year, but not a significant chunk of next year.
Yeah.
We'll see how it shakes out. You can read him at TheMMQB. If you don't check out his Business of Sports podcast with Andrew Brandt, you're missing out. We didn't today. Andrew, thanks for the insight. Always a pleasure, bud.
Always a pleasure, bud.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.